In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as many of you know, I'm not one for much social media activity. But it is interesting how people have begun to use their social media tools to be creative, gather attention, sometimes even surprise others with the news they're sharing there. One of the things that has caught my attention the last year especially are those who have decided to use social media to reveal to the world that they're expecting a baby, or perhaps a few months later to have an event, whether it actually be in person or only on media, doing a gender reveal for the whole world to see. Some of them have been so creative, some have been so outrageous, that they've literally become, what's the word I'm looking for? Viral, I guess, is what they say, right? To the point where you've seen them on the national news shows. I'm here to tell you this morning that the identity reveal that we have before us in these words is the best and biggest identity reveal ever. The reason I make that claim is to the who and the how of the whole thing that's here in front of us. The mother-to-be even had to be notified that she was expecting. That's because the mother-to-be, spelled out clearly in these verses, was a virgin. She was engaged to a very righteous, wonderful man. She was soon to be wed to him, and she knew they had behaved themselves. So when the angel appeared to Mary, it had to be something of a shock. It had to be stunning. But clearly she wasn't too stunned to listen very carefully to what the angel was telling her, because later she would recount to Luke, the writer of these verses, every word and every detail that transpired between the two of them. Let's refresh our memories from one later section of the account this morning. Begin at verse 30 from Luke 1. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." We could spend days, literally, examining every last detail of this amazing gospel account. But I want to take just a few minutes this morning to contemplate two elements of these verses that push this whole situation to a level of being the best identity reveal of all time. The first would have to be the words, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." And the second would have to be, "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." So first off, Mary had to know with certainty that she was not pregnant by any action or choice of her own. If an angel was standing before her proclaiming her to be with child, she knew it had to have been a miracle, because that's the only way a virgin bears a baby. So, the concept of a miracle child was very easy for her to understand, because she knew that if a child was growing inside of her at that moment that the angel was speaking to her, it had to be a miracle. And that that child would be great, that that child would be special, was not necessarily much of a stretch for Mary at that moment, because after all, if God is going to go through all the trouble, if he is going to pull out all the eternal stops of nature and biology to create a baby in a virgin's womb, clearly that child is going to be a world changer. Then the next phrase took all of this to the next level, the highest level possible. The Son of the Most High. She likely wasn't thinking at that moment as she heard those words how it would sound for her to tell Joseph or anyone else with whom she shared that news that she was having God's baby. So it had to sink in first to her own heart and mind. But as she began to experience the changes that pregnancy brought to her body, knowing that she was still a virgin had to be an enormous help in her own personal grasping of everything that was going on. She had to know the baby growing inside of her was from God, not just because an angel told her so, because it was a miracle. God's Son, it says so here, God's Son was growing inside of her. Wow. But it wasn't unbelievable to Mary, was it? We'll find out in just a few verses that she believed it. She believed it because an angel told her so. That was good enough for her. So how about you? Do you believe it? Why? Maybe you would say because the same, very same angel that told Mary has told me through these verses. Or maybe it's because God says it, I believe it, that's enough. Is the case closed? Or do you need more? Have you grown to believe it after all these many cycles of Christmas lessons, because you see how it all fits together? How it fits everything else in this account and the rest of Scripture, specifically requiring the identity of the Messiah. The psalmist reminds us that no one can comprehend, no one can understand, no one can even fathom the mind of the Lord or his manner of thinking and planning and carrying out what he has promised. The psalmist tells us that the reasons that we can't comprehend what God has done for us is that it's all beyond us, as it was beyond Mary. And yet he told us very carefully throughout the Old Testament why his son, the son born of Mary, had to be eternally divine. God from before the beginning and after the end. That baby had to be perfect. This baby had to weave together from the moment of the conception announced here to Mary until the moment of his willing death on the cross, a life of complete and perfect obedience. He had to be able to take on the temptation and trial without sinful human nature that would be the reality for every other human being that has ever been born. If he had two human parents, he would also have inherited sin, just like the rest of us. He could not have avoided it. But being the child of God and the child of Mary meant that he could be both. Not half and half, but 100% God and 100% human. Think of it this way. It's as if someone told you, I'm half German and half Irish. You wouldn't respond with the question, which half is which? They're clearly German and Irish, and both ethnicities would likely claim them as their own because that is their identity. In a similar way, there is no way you can separate the divine from the human in the person of Jesus. From the moment of his conception, he was fully God. Remember how the Apostle Paul in Galatians, a lesson that we'll have in a few weeks on a Sunday after Christmas, tells us so clearly that the fullness of the deity lived in bodily form in the person of Jesus. At this moment in history, the Creator God himself took on a human nature for the purpose of experiencing the human predicament. But that did not make him any less human or less God. It's really just the opposite. It elevated him, and it elevated the reality of that human embryo to the status of God from that moment and forever, immediately and fully. As you think that through, God took the moment when he announces to Mary that this child is now growing inside of her to proclaim himself human and divine at the same time, and now all these years later, in eternity, at the throne of heaven, he still wears that human nature. It's not something he left behind when he ascended to heaven. He is still, in every way and for all eternity, God and human at the same time. And the why? The why he did it is really the most wonderful part of everything that Mary was told by the angel and clearly spelled out through the second element of this identity. Mary knew that she was a descendant of David. Mary knew that Joseph was as well. Any child they had together once they were married would be understood to be of the house and the line of David, a son of David. But Mary also knew her synagogue lessons well enough to likely have puzzled with others over what God was saying in 2 Samuel, that lesson that we had just a little earlier. When God promises David that he will have a descendant that will reign on his throne forever, that his royal house will be eternal, it will never end. As a descendant of David, Mary likely prayed for and wondered about the day that would come when the greatest descendant of David would rule over the house of David forever. And now, by the angel's words, her wondering was over. Her child was that child, a king who would reestablish the throne in the house of David. So, okay, now she understood what anyone else studying the scriptures from that day forward would also understand. Especially that cryptic reference to a house or a descendant of David reigning forever. David could have an eternal heir on his throne, blessing all of humanity for all eternity, if that descendant of David was also a son of God, God's own eternal son. But there is more, much more. The two biggest reasons Christ would have to be a human would be that he had to be subject to and obey every single law perfectly, and he also had to be able to die innocently and willingly for all who could not keep any law perfectly. That's hard for us to comprehend because it seems like every day of our lives we're just so completely surrounded by laws, rules, regulations. And you think about it. Is it all that rare of an experience for you to have someone say, maybe even with a chuckle in their voice, do you realize you're You're breaking a rule right now. You're violating a law. You're not doing your taxes right. That OSHA regulation that just was passed a few months ago that maybe you didn't hear about. You name it. Maybe it's one of your neighbors knocking on your door to remind you of one of the covenants of your subdivision. The reality is, rules, laws, regulations, we're so used to them shaping our lives and guiding our lives that it just seems so natural to be under law. But God established all law. God established even the laws of nature and gravity and everything else, biology. He clearly establishes in these verses that he doesn't have to obey those laws when he doesn't feel like it because he established them. And yet Jesus, this son of Mary, had to also be the son of God, but human so that he could be under every single one of those laws and face all the temptations. Every last temptation that his father David faced, for instance, and all of the descendants of David. But never give in to any of them. Overcome every one of them. This huge identity reveal sets the table for everything Mary's son will be. He will be the son of David that will fight and win the one battle David could never win as king. He would fight sin and death and temptation and win the biggest, baddest battle any human could ever wage. He would face every single temptation known to humankind, and he would overcome every single one of them. He faced hunger, thirst, weariness. We see a life lived that looks and sounds very similar to our own. The point of exhaustion that he experiences in the garden as he's praying on the night before he died. What other human being, as soul, spirit weary as we might become because of the beatdown that we take on a daily basis in so many ways, could even begin to compare with all his human nature was experiencing in that moment? And yet he proclaims, your will be done. He accepts the reality that is in front of him. He accepts and does not rebel. The persecution, the poverty, the hunger really was unlike, very possibly, what any other descendant of David, being royalty, had ever experienced. But Jesus would be in every way a son of David, a human. And the other reason he had to be a human was so that he could die. If the angel only ever announced that Mary's baby would be God, he could never be the Savior Gabriel also predicted he would be in these verses. Jesus must be David's son so that real human blood flows through his veins from the moment he's born through every day of his life, and so that human blood might flow from his veins when he's scourged and crowned with thorns and nailed to a tree. It is the sad reality that will poke its ugly head through the joy of this announcement and through so many of the experiences that Mary and her husband Joseph would have as they awaited the arrival of their son and did everything the law was required for them to do after his birth. They would be reminded again and again of what the end of his life would be for the purpose that he had been born into the world. If he was not able to die, he would never save anyone. It's an essential element of the greatest identity reveal ever. At his birth, the angels proclaimed to the shepherds that they had a brother Savior and rejoiced at his arrival to carry out the long-awaited plan of God that would most certainly end the reign of death by the death of Mary's son. So, okay. You could say this is another big reason this identity reveal is the absolute best ever. It puts in place every single one of the building blocks we need to know about who Jesus is and what he came to do. Exactly how everything in the story will flow and how it will end. Or better stated, flows from the moment the angel appeared to Mary and would never end. The last words of our text make it clear. The angel tells Mary her son will reign forever. That's the best possible announcement about a birth that could ever be made. The most important birth that could ever be announced to us. In Mary, God had chosen the woman through whom he would become and remain one of us forever. And along the way to his glorious resurrection, that through his ascension would catapult him back to the eternal throne of heaven, along the way he would face temptation and hardship and would overcome and pay for every last sin of every human being and guarantee eternal life for every one of his brothers and sisters that trusts these words and every other word an angel or a prophet or an evangelist has spoken and the Spirit has caused to be recorded in the Scriptures. These words speak us righteous and eternal. Please tell me how any other identity reveal could ever be better. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.